Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Tomorrow at 8 a.m. at Main Plaza downtown, it's the Walk and Roll Rally, an event that cheers on our residents who use active transportation in their daily routines, as well as a chance to encourage others to consider making that trip that they would normally use a car or whatever, but they would, hey, why not use a foot, bike, or even a bus to make that trip? So is San Antonio making progress in becoming a bike-friendly city, or is it still too dangerous to ride with traffic? Have you made the attempt, and how did it go? We're talking about biking and bike safety in San Antonio, and we invite you to give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. And joining us to talk about this is Allison Blazowski. She's the Bicycle and Pedestrian Transportation Manager for the Metropolitan Planning Organization. Allie, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you.
So what's going to happen tomorrow morning at 8?
So we have a pretty fun event planned for 8 that's popping up for just an hour, and it's kind of a big hurrah to celebrate people who are walking and biking and taking the bus, basically using an active form of transportation, just like you are talking about, introducing the topic.
Right.
And we'll have T-shirts, which people always enjoy, and breakfast refreshments to get people energized before their TGIF workday. We are kicking off National Bike Month, which is starting today. It's May, and it's been recognized here in the U.S. as National Bike Month since 1956. So there'll be a full calendar of events going on this month, which you can find out on our website at walkandrollsa.com. But I think one of the most neat parts of the program tomorrow at the Walk and Roll Rally will be a special bike fashion show. And we've got a lineup of local bicyclists who are going to be kind of just showing you what they wear when they get around town. I mean, normally when you think of somebody who's a cyclist, you think of somebody who's all decked out in spandex and maybe they've got a lot of gear on and skinny tires and everything. So this is to show you that you can wear kind of whatever you're wearing right now and still hop on a bike and go grab a coffee or run an errand.
So we have a link to your website on our website at tpr.org for folks who want to quickly get over there. How is it growing? How are we seeing progress? Are we seeing San Antonio become a more bike transportation city?
I think so. I mean, I'm deep in it, so whenever I see somebody bicycling, my eyes are just like I go right to it. So I'm like have a mental checklist.
So you have that perception bias, as they call it.
I guess so. But having a lot of cyclists who come into our office to kind of hear about the, quote, rules of the road that a bicyclist should follow and then receive a set of bike lights or a helmet for themselves, they've talked about, I guess, anecdotally noticing over the last perhaps 5 years or so, kind of a gradual shift in the culture where motorists are maybe becoming more aware of the bicycles around them and people aren't looking at you as oddly as they might have been in a decade ago.
So has it just been people being converted to this? Is it, you know, this works, I can do this? They tried it and they liked it. What's the key to making trying to get that critical mass? I don't think we're there yet, trying to get enough people who bike regularly to work that it becomes like a thing.
I think there is some conscious decision-making going on with the people who are starting to pick up biking again. Maybe it's because they're consciously trying to be more active and beat diabetes or beat obesity. Maybe it's because they're a teenager and they are seeing that bicycling is kind of becoming hipper and they can use that as a mode of transportation if they don't have a driver's license yet. And then there's 20-somethings, 30-somethings young professionals who are kind of seeing it as a social aspect also. I've heard in other areas internationally that you don't need to convince people to bike necessarily. You just have to build an environment that seems safe and comfortable and inviting enough, and people will just do it. They'll get there themselves. So I think we're on our way to constructing that and getting the share the road mentality among all the people who are using the roadway. But we still are kind of consciously trying to make that effort and get people to,
okay,
to try out bicycling.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Number is 614-8980. If you've taken up biking, if you've tried the commute on your bike, how did it work out for you? Alex has called in. Alex, welcome to The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I recently had a biking experience in the medical center close to Babcock and Callahan. I just think from my experience, the biggest issue is awareness, that people who are driving cars need to be aware that bikes can share the road, and it needs to be done safely and properly. Most recently, both my parents are physicians. I'm home from college, and my mom had forgot her cell phone. So there was bad traffic. It was 5 o'clock. And I was like, well, I can help her out, hop on my bike, miss the traffic, go towards the side of the road, and get her phone. No, everyone, like, at red lights and whatnot, they're giving you looks. They're like, what is this kid doing on his bike, on the street? And it's just, one, it's uncomfortable, and two, I fear for my safety because they're not very respectful.
Are they hostile?
No, they're not hostile in the sense that they're, like, cutting me off or anything like that. But they're definitely not respectful that I have a right to be on the road as well.
Okay, Alex, thanks for that phone call. Hopefully that can change. Allie, what do you think?
That is the first thing that I talk to motorists about bicycling is to say that you treat a car as you treat a bike. A bike is a legal vehicle on the road. And some people are like, oh, I thought they should be on sidewalks only. So Alex has a great point. It's reality that people are still becoming adjusted to the right of a bicyclist and actually the legal necessity. It's only lawful to ride on the roadway instead of a sidewalk.
Right. You can't ride on the sidewalk. That's against the law. Right.
Correct.
Okay, another caller. Monica has called in. Monica, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. Hello, Allie. It's Monica.
Hi, Monica.
I was calling because I took up cycling seriously about a year ago, year and a half, and I commuted. I gave up the car for a year, and I commuted to work and to classes, and I found it a real invigorating experience. I also found out that as far as safety goes, bicyclists, too, have to be aware of the safety rules and what they can and cannot do, because if we want the motorists to respect us, we have to respect them. I've seen bicyclists not stop at stop signs or, you know, get on the wrong side of the road or do things that they shouldn't be doing that agitates drivers. Not that there's as many as there are drivers that don't respect the bicycles, but I think everybody should be informed that's a two-way street so we could commute better. And I think San Antonio is getting to the point where we're going to be commuting and doing a lot more bicycle awareness. I think it's a great thing that the city's doing.
Okay, Monica, thanks for that call. So we did go on Facebook. We asked people if they felt safe bicycling in San Antonio roads, meaning people. Megan said, I think a cyclist could help drivers by ensuring that they're wearing bright colors and have lights if it's in the evening, and that would help the motorist be alert for the cyclist, Allie.
That's spot on. That's definitely a way to make yourself visible as a cyclist, because you are much smaller on your bike than you are when you're driving a vehicle. And it's also at night especially important to have lights, both a front headlight that's white and a rear reflector that's red or a light that's red, to make yourself seen. Just try as much as you can to be reflective and be lit up. And also motorists can just start training there. Train your brain to think to look for that smaller object on the roadway. I've done a lot of that myself in the last couple of years, picking up bicycling. And now that I do that, when I'm driving my car, I am very aware to check for bikes that are in the lanes.
Okay, so still part of the education process. We're going to continue this conversation talking about bike safety in San Antonio as we try to encourage more people to become bicycle commuters as San Antonio kicks off the Walk and Roll Rally, which is tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. at Main Plaza. And we invite phone calls. If you want to talk about your experiences bicycling in San Antonio, if you're tempted but you're hesitant, maybe we can answer your questions about that. The number is 210-614-8980. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll bring in our other guest we have in on this conversation. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. And welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about bike safety in San Antonio. There's an effort and to encourage people to bike, walk, to work every day, but there's a lot of concerns as we're finding out from our callers and people online saying biking in San Antonio, don't feel too safe doing that. One person, Marie, wrote in and says, it's very dangerous with an exclamation mark. What do you think? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. We've got some new guests to introduce to talk about this topic. Lydia Kelly, she is a local bike advocate. Julie Murphy, sustainable transportation manager for the city of San Antonio. And online we have Jack Stanford. He is a bike advocate and his organization and nonprofit, Bike Texas. Welcome to The Source, all of y'all. So let me ask you, Julia Murphy, why is San Antonio concerned about sustainable transportation? What's the issue there?
Well, sustainable transportation means a lot of things. It means having choices. And we want to promote the ideal that if you live in San Antonio, you don't necessarily have to drive a car everywhere you're going. Maybe you can take the bus. Maybe you can hop on a bike, grab a walk in your daily life. And the reason why we think this is important is because it's important for our air quality so that we have clean air to breathe. It's important for our fitness levels. We want to be able to walk and ride a bike in our daily lives so that we can remain fit, and that impacts public health. Many, many reasons. Impact on our roadways. It's overall just a good policy for a city who wants to be economically competitive to have transportation.
So do you think a lot of people want to move to San Antonio, what they see? It's not a bike city, and they're just not. And they say, maybe I'll go to Austin instead.
Well, they used to say that, perhaps. But we have a lot of people that are moving to San Antonio because we have made such great strides in our bike infrastructure in particular. It's as Allie mentioned earlier, it's kind of cool. It's vibey. And again, it speaks to the bottom line of the city competitively.
So Lydia Kelly, you're a local bike advocate. Talk about what does that mean? How are you an advocate for biking? What's your relationship with your bike?
I love my bicycle. I love my bicycle. How I'm an advocate is that I try to get out and talk to the bicyclists and explain to them how important it is to get involved with their elected officials. Elected officials listen to their constituents. And if they don't know that there are any constituents out there riding a bike who want to see bicycle facilities, not just sharrows on the road, but a real bicycle facility. If we want to encourage parents to allow their kids to ride to middle school or to high school, they need a bicycle lane or better yet, a cycle track. But that's sometime in the future. But we can't build our way out of congestion. And I don't think that a lot of the motorists realize that. They just think that the city or the county or the state will put in an extra lane. It's not feasible anymore. There's no money for that anymore. So we have to get people out of their cars and onto bicycles, onto the bus, or walking.
So Jack Sanford, your organization, Bike Texas, is this a statewide movement? Are other communities seeing an explosion in bike riding?
Definitely. Yeah, we're a statewide organization. I would get to see all the progress being made all over Texas, and it's amazing to see San Antonio, my hometown, doing so much. When I grew up there, I could never imagine it being a place you could get around without a car, but in the last 10 years, they've built all of these greenway trails. They were the first Texas city to install bike share. Austin and Fort Worth and Houston had to follow San Antonio's lead on that, and they've also developed a really strong community of all kinds of people that are out there on bikes. The one place that I would say San Antonio is behind, not just in Texas, but globally in terms of making itself a bike-friendly destination, is getting some real low-stress networks on the streets. So we're talking physical separation between bikes and cars on the street, not just a painted line, but maybe a couple painted lines and a curb or some plastic posts, something that makes, you know, a child or somebody new to a bike feel a lot safer on the street than just a painted line. And that's where we're really going to see progress, is getting a lot of people in San Antonio that maybe want to try biking, but as you've been hearing, they don't feel very safe on the roads. This is what's going to make them feel safe and get more people out there trying it.
Okay, we got a bunch of phone calls. Let's get these people on the air. The number is 614-8980, and Jeannie has called in. Jeannie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thanks. So my husband and I started biking a couple years ago for fitness, and we would often bicycle along the access road on 1604 out here. We had to stop doing that because the traffic got so bad as they started building up 1604. And so we've taken to riding the Leon Creek Parkway. And what we have found most fun is to do the very south reach of the Riverwalk. We just can't ride during the week anymore out here on the streets because the traffic is so bad. And I like the comment that was made about making a physical separation because, you know what, bike lanes, they're just not enough sometimes.
All right, Jeannie, we appreciate your phone call. Thanks for calling in. John has called in. Let's get him on the air. John, welcome to The Source. And John. Okay.
Hello.
John, you're on the air, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to make a comment. First of all, I don't drive bikes. I don't have anything against people that drive bikes. But I do get irritated. For example, I live out here in Selma. And I'm driving around out towards Garden Ridge or somewhere, and you get these people that, you know, are all decked out for the bicycling, you know, the helmet and the spandex and the whole nine yards, which is fine and dandy. Like I said, I don't have anything against that. What I do have against is that they'll drive in traffic like they're a car. You know, I mean, they'll drive in the middle of the road, and you tell them something, and I've said, you know, politely, hey, you know, can you move over? Well, I got the same right you do and so forth and so on. But, you know, everybody's talking about safety, but is it really safe to allow motor vehicles that weigh 3,000 pounds in with a bicycle that weighs, you know, 200 pounds, for example, with no protection? I don't think that's safe, and I don't think it's safe for these guys to be driving in the middle of the road like they're a car. You know, you're driving 40 miles an hour because that's what the speed limit is. The guy that's driving the bike is driving at about 25 miles an hour, and he's slowing down all the traffic. I mean, you know, that's not safe.
All right, John, I appreciate your phone call because you bring an important point of view. I'm sure there are a lot of people who are thinking the same thing that you've brought to the table. So thanks for calling in. So let me ask you about that, Julia. You know, he's talking. He's a car driver. He's driving his truck, and there's this guy in front of him with a bike slowing him down. He gets frustrated.
Valid concern. And really what we try to tell people is there's enough road to go around, but in reality, sometimes it feels like there's not because this is a big city. There's a lot of traffic, and it is getting worse. More people are moving to the area. That's why what Jack and Lydia referred to as separated facilities for separated uses would be the best situation in a perfect world. But we all know that we don't have that much space, and it costs money, and there are many other barriers. So what we just really want to tell people is just try to be tolerant. Try to think about choices. Think about the people that are more vulnerable on the roadway. It could be your neighbor or your wife or your child. And how would they want to be respected on the roadway if they were trying to travel around?
But he brings an important point of view. Jack, let me get you in on this because I'm sure you've heard his complaint before. And then you get people do get fed up and they lash out on both sides. I've heard about this. And then sometimes people get hurt. It seemed like every week now I'm reading about a bicyclist who got hurt because the car hit him or something. What can we do? How do we maintain a safe level until we hit critical mass where we have all those facilities?
Well, I think hitting that critical mass where we have all the facilities is really the answer to that. In the meantime, like Julia said, we've got to be respectful of each other, recognize that, you know, if I can move over on my bike and give this car space, then I will. But if I can't, if the safest place is for me is in the middle of the road so that you don't try to pass me within, you know, inches of my bike, then that's where I'm going to be because that's the safest place. The legislature has said that that's what is allowed for bikes to be in the middle of the road if that's the safest place. If the road is narrow, too narrow for a car and a bike to fit safely, And until we have a legislative change like that, then that's what the laws of our roads say. And we all need to be respectful of those laws.
Okay, let's get more callers on the air. Mark has called in. Mark, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. John has a great point there. I'm a bike rider, 16 years, and but you know, he has a great point. I see so many bikers who think they're cars. But this is a great city for bicycling. We have a lot of space. We have flat terrain. It's just a fantastic place to bike ride, and I'm excited about the future for bike riding. One thing that that bothers me immensely is these grates, these drainage grates. I can't believe that the city takes bicycling seriously if they leave these drainage grates in on the side of the road where the bicyclists are expected to ride, and these ruts, these grooves go parallel with the road, and so our tires and wheels will just go happily right into these grates, taking us straight to the hospital. So it's hard for me to take or to think the city takes bicycling seriously when they can't even replace these dangerous grates.
All right, Mark, thanks for that great question. We got someone from the city right here who could probably give us a response. So Julia Murphy, a sustainable transportation manager from the city of San Antonio.
Thanks, Mark, for bringing that up. Actually, those grates are, you know, have been in place for a while, a lot of them. And sometimes we do go back to our old habits, I will say. But we are being proactive about trying to fix those when they are called to our attention. So if you have a particular route that you ride where you see those grates and they're causing some safety hazards, please make an official report by calling 311. You just tell what it is, where it is, give as much information
as possible.
So it
makes a noise.
Yeah, it goes onto the official record, and then we are obligated to do something about it. There's also a smartphone app, which is SA311. So download that. You can take a picture of the grate, send it in, and then we have even a better record.
So real quickly, Lydia Kelly, local bike advocate, are you enthusiastic? Are you optimistic? Where are we going with bikes in San Antonio?
I am very optimistic and enthusiastic about bicycling in San Antonio. I, once again, though, there is a bicycle lane that is in jeopardy right now, and that's the one on South Flores, because a small contingent of residents are making a big stink about it, and we're saying, look to the future and the big scheme of things. So people need to contact your elected officials.
Right. Another great thing is about the bikes and the VIA. They get along really well. That thing works very well together. All right. This is The Source on KSTX. We're out of time. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.